The message tonight is about children, good and bad. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Chapter 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Chapter 19, verse 1. And the two angels came to Sodom at even, and Lot invites them into his house. And verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men that came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. That's enough for now. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful that as men in deceit said concerning your Son, Master, we know that you are true, you speak the truth, you regard not any man. We are thankful, our Father, that this was true of him, and we are thankful that it is true of thy word. How different are the writings of men when controlled by the fear of man. How different are the writings of the children of God when controlled by his Spirit. Thy word is truth, and thy Son is truth, and that is what our hearts desire to know. We are aware, our God, that at times what we thought was truth in reality was error, and what we heard thinking to be error was in reality truth. So we pray that from the Word of God, as it says to us, what saith the Scriptures, we shall consider the Word of God, understand it as best we are able. The things that are revealed, they are for us, our God. The secret things belong to you. But there are so many things that we deem secret, yet in thy Word, thou hast given us inklings of interpretation. So, our Father, this night, bless us, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and thy Spirit must work upon the heart, thy Spirit must empower. So for these things we pray. Bless our coming together tonight, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. One of the loveliest scenes in the Bible is that one in Matthew 18, when the disciples had been reasoning with one another, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And the Lord Jesus took a little child and set him in the midst and said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, what could be lovelier? For the Savior recalled a little child, and that child responded to the Savior's call, and he held him in his arms, and then set him in the midst, and used him as an illustration. I told you the message tonight was about children, good and bad. That is an illustration of a good child. But if you think about other children of whom our Lord uses as illustration, they're not all good. I'll tell you but one. In Matthew 11, our Savior, desiring to illustrate the perversity, the stubbornness of the nation of Israel, said this, "You are like children sitting in the marketplace that call unto their fellows and say, 'We piped unto you and you would not dance. We mourned unto you and you would not lament.'" Now, are they good children or bad children? You see, that's an illustration of a perverse, stubborn, self-willed child that cannot be pleased. Yes. And those are the ones with whom I am most familiar. I'm just wondering this. In Sunday school, if I wanted to do something startling like that, and wanted to call a little child, take him in my arms, and set him in the midst, I do not know if I would get a response. I've seen little children, and it is startling concerning the hardness and perversity and contrariness of those little things from the earliest age. And because of that, tying what I said this morning in with what I'm telling you tonight, a movement, a motion of men in need toward God, what I found is this, that as so often, what my brethren teach, I am in disagreement with them for this reason. They teach that all children are good and saved until they reach the age of accountability. You probably teach that. That's probably what you believe. In fact, there was a song that I remember being sung years ago that went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all good children or all little children go to heaven. And that's what you teach. How many of you would teach that I'm not sure what happens to little children when they die? No. If there were such a death, I know what you would do. You would go to that mother and you would say that that child has not as yet reached the age of accountability, and therefore that child is in heaven with the Lord, rejoicing. Now, let me ask you this. Whereas my sympathy is with you, what scriptures, and I will talk to you about 2 Samuel chapter 12 in a moment, what scriptures would you give me teaching this? That all little children go to heaven. I told you this morning that as much as I had read the Word of God and searched it, I never found anyone who received God's salvation, if it is told us in the Scripture, unless he made a motion toward God. So now where are those scriptures that tell me that all little children, before they read the age of accountability, go to heaven? Isn't that strange? What if I told you that I knew that all men that were born in one part of the world went to heaven, and those born in another part did not go to heaven, and those of one race went to heaven, and those of another race did not go to heaven? You would say, that isn't true. That's not in the Bible. Well, that is why, even though there is tenderness, and even though I sympathize with you, you must be careful when you teach such a thing, because I am going to tell you in a moment what you are responsible of teaching if you tell people such things. Because some things are taught incorrectly because there are men who make merchandise of others. They teach what they do for filthy lucre. But there are others that teach the things they do out of tenderness, out of a disposition of kindness toward all mankind, and that same thing happens to Peter. Do you remember when the Lord announced in Matthew chapter 16, he said, I have to go to Jerusalem, I have to be rejected, I have to be spat upon, I have to be crucified, I have to be killed, and after 3 days I will rise again. And it says that Peter took him and rebuked him, and he said, Lord, this shall never be unto thee. And the Lord turned and rebuked Peter and said, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou mindest not the things that be of men, of God, but the things that be of men. Tell me, if I spoke to you about the brutality of the treatment of Jesus Christ, his hanging on the cross, the suffering of the scourging, the piercing of the nails, what would your tendency to be? I think it would be the same as Peter, Lord, let it never be to thee. But understand that that tenderness in desiring to keep the Lord Jesus from going to the cross of Calvary would be satanic. Do you not understand? That there is tenderness and concern for the Lord's well-being is satanic. Now, in like manner, may I suggest, and please, all of these things that I tell you, you be like the Bereans, you search the scriptures whether they are so. But tell me, these things that you go and tell parents about their children, assuring them that if they die before they reach the age of accountability, all is well. What scriptures would you give them? First, I'll tell you a little bit about 2 Samuel chapter 12, because this infant of a day is about to die, and David is praying and fasting. But when the child dies, words like these are spoken. Why are you amazed at my behavior? He said, because. He said, he shall not come to me, but I shall go to him. Fine. David said, he's not going to come back to the land of the living to me, but I am going unto him. And just to be sure, I looked to see where David went when he died. Can anybody give me the scripture telling me where David went when he died? Well, you'll find it in 1 Kings 2:10. Just let me quote it for the sake of time. It says, David died. It says, David slept with his fathers. And it says that about every other king. It says all of them, whether they were good or whether they were bad, they slept with their fathers. And if you read in the Bible about men before the kings of Israel, it is usually expressed this way. It says they were gathered unto their people when they died. They were gathered unto their fathers. And one verse that was most significant is found in the book of Judges, speaking about Joshua's generation. It says, this whole generation, think now, hundreds of thousands, this whole generation, it says, died, it says, and they were gathered unto their fathers. So, looking to find out where men went when they died, young or old, I found out that they were gathered to their people, they were gathered to their fathers, they slept with their fathers. And so since I have read what David said, I shall go to him, and the Spirit of God says that David slept with his fathers, I take it that that is the description, that he leaves the land of living, and he goes into the land where dead ones are. In that land, because of what the Savior tells us, we know that there is, as the Savior describes it in Luke 16, there is Abraham's bosom, and there is a place of torment. So, you cannot say that since that whole generation died, all of them went to a place like Abraham's bosom. You cannot say that. Because it says with most of them, God was not well pleased. There were so many of them. Unless you're going to say that the whole generation, Joshua's generation, died and went to be with the Lord. Their sins forgiven. You say, no, I cannot say that. Well, for that reason, the big strong reason that you had in 2 Samuel 12, and believe me, that if I could use it, I would use it. that I'm not going to use portions that he that is of the contrary part can challenge me on, and I cannot say with scorn, well, you're just heartless. You don't know the scriptures the way that I do. It meant that he went to heaven, and David was going to heaven with him. We shan't go into any more of that, but I tell you that you cannot use 2 Samuel 12 to say, this is the teaching that when little ones die, they go to heaven. You say, well, what does the Bible say about little ones? And what would be wrong if I told sorrowing mothers that their little ones were in heaven with the Lord? What is wrong is this, that you say automatically, without any motion toward God, as I told you this morning, if you say that all of those before they reach the age of accountability, without any motion toward God, go to heaven, then you are teaching the opposite of everything the Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation. You are saying that when children are born, they are born saved, and if they live a certain number of years, they become lost. You say, yes, I did say that until they reach the age of accountability. You are saying that they are sure of heaven, they are secure, all is well. You are saying that they are children of grace. That is what you are saying. But the Bible says this, you have he made alive when you were dead in trespasses and in sin. And the Bible also says this. It says, Paul, I, Paul, and all the others, we were by nature children of wrath. Children of wrath, even as others. But you are saying that these little ones are children of grace. The Bible says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. And I found out that the only way to get in Christ was by a motion going toward Christ. And so if you want to teach that men are born saved and because of reaching accountability, they are lost, that they are born children of grace, and then they suddenly become children of wrath at a certain age, you do that. But someone has told you that you are denying every teaching in the Word of God. It says, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all sinned in Adam. Now, let me ask you this. Inasmuch as in 2 Corinthians 12, and in the other portion, we are talking about these little ones who die before they reach the age of accountability. Tell me, if there is this loving father and their children of grace, why did they die? Any sin that they had committed? Absolutely not. No. Because it says in Romans 5 that Adam committed a sin, and because of the sin that he committed, he died. It said, but the others who die, they die even though they have not sinned after the similitude of Adam. And these little children have done absolutely nothing at all. And do you know why they die? Because it says, for as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For all sin in Adam. Not only the imputation of the nature of sin, but also the guilt of sin for this reason. If there is no guilt, why did the child die? Has the child sinned? You say no. Then why did he die? Because of the guilt as well as the nature imputed by the sin of Adam. That is the teaching of the Word of God. Now, if you want to go for the sake of tenderness and tell all sorrowing mothers and parents, dry those tears, your child is in heaven, all is well, fine. I would be there with you. But when you told them that, I would give them another solution that would get those children to heaven. Do you understand? And the solution that I would give, whether it be correct or not, at least it would be upon the observation of precedents as to how men I want you to understand. I may believe the way you do, but when you do such a thing, speaking about the blood of Christ covers those children. Well, does not the blood of Christ cover all men? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Does God have some special one? And let me add this. You must understand that even though there is the election, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. It says in Ephesians 2 that until that time that there is a motion toward God, until we are quickened, until we are made alive, it said we were all by nature children of wrath, even as the rest, even as the others. And so even though you may have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, until that time that you respond to the drawing power of God, you are in death, and you are a child of wrath. And when there is that motion toward God, and I told you that the motion could be one of striving to enter in, or it could be a motion so faint, so invisible that only the eye of Christ could see it. Still, there's that motion toward God, and the Lord Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Because there is outward physical motion that you and I can see, such as Bartimaeus crying, Thou son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy, crying, crying. There is striving to enter in. Anyone could see that there is activity, a motion toward the Son. But concerning that one that had the palsy, he was doing nothing. He was able to do nothing. But the Savior looked upon him, and he saw his faith, as well as the faith of the others, getting him to Christ. And he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So understand this. You and I must speak the truth. We must speak the truth. When I told those whom I visited, you must be born again. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by him. I've had people to turn on me and say, well, I have a rabbi, a dear rabbi, that is a godly man. Are you telling me that without Christ he shall perish? I never, in that case, do anything except quote the word of God. Never argue. I would bring to their attention, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I would quote the verse, if God were your father, you would love me. I would quote the verse, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. That way, you are on safe ground, and you have used the scripture. Some would say, yes, that rabbi is going to hell, and your mother that lives such a saintly life, she is going to hell. You don't speak to people that way, unless you want to antagonize them and show, be shown the exit out of the house. You simply, with reverence and respect, say, let me tell you what the Lord Jesus said in that case, and then I leave the matter with you. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what you have to do is this, to recognize the teaching of the Scripture. Let's see if David would give that doctrine. The one in 2 Samuel 12 who said, I shall go to him, he shall not go to me. Let's see what David said about infants. I remember in Psalm 51 that David said, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And his father was married to his mother. David was not married when this child was born. And if one born in lawful circumstances was shapen in sin, born in iniquity, if all of these things are true concerning him, then what about one that was born out of wedlock because of lust and because of murder? You remember this verse in the scripture. It says, The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You remember that scripture? Do you believe it? You say, I must believe it. Then, is it not strange that if David speaks about from the womb, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, if he speaks of himself that way, and then if he speaks of that child, do you realize that in 2 Samuel 12, it says that God smote the child? You say, yes, God smote the child. And so if there were this tenderness, this unaccountability, then the child should not be smitten at all. And if there is no sin, if there is no guilt, then God would have no right to allow children to die until they reach the age of accountability. And then after that, when they started dying, you would say, yes, yes. That's, now this one has reached the age of accountability. But it says that in Adam, all men die. Even the ones that have not sinned after the similitude of Adam. It says, this they die, because not only the nature, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me, but the guilt as well, because they die, even though they have had no experience in sin at all. So what are we to do? What you are to do is this. You are to understand other verses of Scripture like these. As in John 1, when the Savior being spoken of about being the true light, it says that he lighted every man coming into the world. And it says in John 12, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Here are promises of God, and the Savior has told us that he's going to draw all men. You say, but he cannot draw infants. He cannot illumine infants. Well, I am inclined to agree with you, but let me ask you this. When Mary, who was 3 months the child, came and spoke to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was with child, John the Baptist was in her womb, when Mary spoke to Elizabeth, what happened? You say, I remember Elizabeth saying, why, when you spoke, when I heard the salutation, it says, the child in my womb leaped for joy. Isn't that a remarkable thing? You're not able to explain that to me. But here is a child in the womb, 6 months in the womb, and the voice of the woman, the Virgin Mary, who is going to bring forth the Lord Jesus, speaks to Elizabeth. And the scripture says that that child leaped for joy in the womb at the voice of Mary. You say, yes, I do not know what capacity a child has in the womb. I simply tell you that, whether it's relevant or not. And when John the Baptist was 8 days old, remember now, here is a child 8 days old, and you may find in Luke chapter 1 that his father Zechariah says, and you, child, this is your destiny. You shall be the prophet of the Most High. You shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare the way of the Lord, that their sins may be forgiven. Understand, here is a child 8 days old, and without that child having said yes or no, his father says, you are destined to be the prophet of the Most High, and you are going forth. And as it says concerning Elijah and John the Baptist, it says to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And this is a child before it ever reaches maturity. Certain things are spoken. So the way that I've conceived it is this. I've hinted at it in the past, but this is a legitimate way. I have told you that some were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, but I'm not attributing it to election. But it says this concerning even the elect, whom he foreknew, them he did predestinate. And it says, whom he predestinated, them he also called. And so let's say that some of these little ones were among those chosen. It says, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. In every instance that I know of, there has always been a call. God reaching out, drawing man to himself. And just as that son in Matthew 21, when he was called at first, son, go work today in my vineyard. He said, I will not. He said, but afterwards he repented himself. the call of God comes. It may be refused, but in time it is obeyed. God commandeth men everywhere to repent, and when this call comes forth, even if you have been predestinated, it says God is going to call you. And when he calls you, you know that that call has been responded to, because it says, whom he called, then he also justified. And I know that that justification is permanent, because it says, in whom he justified, then he also glorified. And so thank God, if when I was called, I responded positively to that call, I moved in the direction toward the Lord, and I was justified, I know that all is well. Because in that chain that God gives us in Romans chapter 8, it says, I am already glorified. Keep that in mind. Well, what must we say? Are we saying that God in the womb, that God in an infant 8 days old, a few months old, that God draws, that God calls? I'm not able to say that. I do not know what understanding the child has. But this is what I have thought, and I said to bring it to your attention, and the basis of what I think is on the basis of how God has spoken and operated in other cases. Remember this, that in Matthew chapter 11, our Savior has performed his greatest miracles, and those that saw those miracles repented not. And he says, woe unto the Chorazins, woe unto the Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now grasp what that portion contains. The Savior not only knows what happened historically, but he knows that if a set of circumstances was different, he knows what things would have happened under those different circumstances. He said, if the things that you have seen me do, if they of Tyre and Sidon had seen them done, it says, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Do you understand that our Savior, taking into consideration all the factors of a man repenting and turning to God, he knows just what, if it's done, will cause that individual to repent. I can tell you no more of that, but only that if this were done, then there would have been repentance. But let me show you how man thinks the contrary. In Luke 16, there was this rich man in hell, and he's thinking back to his brothers that are alive on earth. And he said, Father Abraham, he said, I have five brothers that are in my father's house. And he said, I want you to send Lazarus to them from the dead, that he may testify to them, that they may not come to this place of torment. And this is the answer of heaven. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But hell argues this. Nay, Father Abraham, but if Lazarus went from the dead, they will repent. And heaven's answer is, if the law of Moses and the prophets are not hearkened to, if they believe not Moses, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. Do you see? And so men think of what could be done that would cause individuals to repent. Why, someone going from the dead. And then you should know the answer to that. Because a Lazarus did rise from the dead. And the people that saw him raised from the dead, his enemies, were in no wise changed. They went and told the authorities, and they became more determined to put the Lord Jesus to death. But the Lord Jesus said that if what I had done had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now, one other thing. I recall that when our Savior was tempted, one of the temptations was this. He took our Savior to an exceeding high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them in a moment of time. And he said to him, he said, if you will bow down and worship me, all of these things shall be yours. And the Savior said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, consider two things. Here is the Savior, and Satan has the power to tempt his soul to hell by showing him in a moment of time all the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them. And he said, these are yours if you will worship me. When I put these two scriptures together, it seems so elementary that these little ones are transported in age to the time that they're able to make a decision. Because here is what men fail to understand. You say, why, those babes are just 8 days old. They are just out of the womb. Tell me, how old was Adam when God was conversing with him, bringing the animals to him? You say, why? That apparently was the first day he was created. I see. And so, when a child comes from the womb, this is a different set of conditions, but I see that God is able to cause a person to be born mature. Now, all of this, I'm just seeking to find an answer to some things that I know. What I believe God does is this. I believe that just as Satan, in a moment of time, caused to pass before the eyes of our Savior things that would tempt him, not vile things, because the kingdom is the Lord. The earth and all things therein belong to the Lord. And he said, they're yours, and you may get them prematurely. But the Lord Jesus saw all of those things. And this was the consequence of not doing it. You may have all the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them if you fall down and worship me, or else you may go back to the way that you live. You may go up and down in the earth not having a place to lay your head. Now, decide. What is your decision? And the Lord Jesus said, earth with uncertainty, worshiping God. I take it that in some such way that these little ones are shown as Satan showed the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them. I take it that our Heavenly Father shows them all the glories of heaven, all the facets, all that is associated with being in the Father's house, paradise, the beauty of heaven, the joy of heaven, the people of heaven. And as Satan said, it's yours if you worship me. The Father says to these little children, and able to make a decision, you may have all of this if you will trust my Son as your Savior. And I believe that also he shows them the lake of fire and those like that rich man in there in torment, the vile sin that is associated with hell. And having those two things before, showing as the worlds were shown to Christ, so heaven and its glories are shown to these little ones. And what decision will they make? I do not believe that there is any little one who would ever say, I will take hell and not heaven. I believe that there is that choice, just as Christ made a choice for serving God. I say the little ones would make that choice. Why? For this reason. Concerning those that have grown older, the Savior said, it is hard. How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? How hard is it? But think, these little ones have never tasted sin. They do not know what temptations are. They do not know about money. And for that reason, whereas one may have become rich, but being rich makes it harder for that man to be saved. You understand that the Bible speaks about some people, and it's hard for them to be saved. Now, in like manner, in this case, here are little ones, and it is easy for them to be saved, because God shows them, and in their condition, even though children of wrath, even though having the nature of sin, they have an opportunity to say, yes, Lord. And I believe that when they say yes, that God at that time takes them immediately to heaven. And then he says, whom he called, them he also justified, and I have violated no portion of Scripture. I'm not able to tell you that that's the way that God does it, but I've shown you from precedents in the Word of God that similar things were done, and all the other Scriptures say there must be motivation. There must be that call. And so I reason along those lines. And so I say to that mother, I believe that your child has been shown all the glories of heaven, and the Lord said to that little one, do you want to come and spend eternity with me here in heaven, with my son, with all the people of God? And I believe that your little one said, yes, Father, I do. That's where I believe your child is. And so I leave the matter there. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that however you work this thing out, all your promises shall be fulfilled, and even Abraham knew that the judge of all the earth would do right. We are so glad, our Father, that you are not willing that any man should perish, and we are glad also that you are consistent with your own nature. You must be just as well as the justifier of them that believe. So, our Father, we leave it all in thy hands. We know that you are not willing that one of these little ones should perish. It's not a thing willed of your Father that one of these little ones perish. And our Father, we know that they shall have equal opportunity to say yes to thy Son as others as well. So, our Lord, we are at peace, we are at rest, when we know that the little ones who are taken, they are taken away from the evils in this world. So let us not, in desiring to do good, make thy word false. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.